It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Great job there, Al. Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you on this and every Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports, 920 AM. That's 920 The Jersey. And don't forget those tune-in apps on your smartphone. You can get us there and stream us live. Love it right there, Al. Don't forget me on social media. It's at KJPGA on Instagram and Twitter, and also our friends there on LinkedIn. Turn it up, Al. There it is. You know, each and every week, folks and listeners, we do a song of the week, and this week it's Heart's Magic Man, back there in 1975. And the reason that we're doing that for this U.S. Open blockbuster show is that I have a Magic Man on the line right now. His name is David Abeles. He's the CEO and president of TaylorMade Golf. He is quite the Magic Man to their brand, and I'm going to bring him on air right now. David, it's Keith Stewart. You're on Springdale Golf Live. How's it going?
Hey, Keith, it's going great. Thanks for having me. And quite candidly, I have never been introduced as the Magic Man before. I'm going to leave that title for you.
Well, you know, each week we have a little theme song of the week, and I have a Magic Man on right now. And, you know, we talked earlier today, and you were out at Shinnecock, and, you know, everything out there looks amazing on TV this week, but I know you're in tune with your players, and what are they saying about the event and the golf course and their experience down on the east end of Long Island this week?
Yeah, Keith, you know, I got out to Shinnecock on Tuesday. And, you know, usually around the U.S. Open, there's always some type of controversy, some type of story about the golf course, how the golf course has been set up. Are there areas of the golf courses that are fair or unfair? You know, what was very common, I would say the common thread amongst all of our players, whether it was Dustin Johnson, who's playing fairly well right now, or Justin Rose, Jason, Tiger, and I'm sure we can talk more about our athletes, they all said how much, one, they love the golf course. It's set up like a U.S. Open venue should be set up. And despite how difficult it is, it's absolutely very fair. When you hit good shots, you're going to be rewarded. If you don't hit good shots, you'll be penalized. So really, the whole vibe around Shinnecock and what the USGA has done to set up the U.S. Open this year at Shinnecock really was terrific. I had a couple of great days watching our players get ready to go. They're in good form, most of them. A couple of them have struggled a bit. But all in all, I think we're in for what will be a fabulous weekend, a terrific Father's Day weekend, and no doubt we'll crown a superstar champion on Sunday.
Well, you know, DJ got out early this morning, and he shot a 67, and I believe as I left the club just about a half an hour ago, he was the only guy left under par. I know Rosie's in the middle of his round right now, and he's in about third place. And as I mentioned these names, these are some of the most recognizable names in all of golf. And you have pretty much five of the most recognizable players, and you know, four of those guys are in the top 10 in the world, and one of them is possibly the greatest golfer of all time. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about how this, what I call a dream team, came together for TaylorMade?
Yeah, sure, Keith. You know, we're very humbled right now. When I think about our staff, and we've got hundreds of tour players all over the world on different tours, not just the PGA Tour, but our business in Europe, and we have wonderful athletes on the European Tour, in Japan and Korea, and in the One Asia Tour. So, you know, one of the things that's very important for our company is to ensure that the best players in the world at every level on every professional tour have access to the best products in the world, and we're very prideful in and around our desire to build the best product line for golfers of all skill levels. And then when the tour really wants to play them, that really validates the things that we're doing. So, but when I think about the few individuals that you pose, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Jason Day, there's five of the top 10 players in the world that have chosen to play TaylorMade. And then there's this other guy named Tiger Woods who's trending pretty well. He had a tough day yesterday, played a little bit better today. We'll see where that cut line migrates to up at Shinnecock. But in the end, we've been very, very fortunate to get these players on board. And the one common characteristic amongst all these players is that every one of them has come to TaylorMade in search of better performance to help them perform better. And while the endorsement game and how you create marketing value out of wonderful world-class athletes like this is certainly critical to our business, I can say in every one of these cases, they all raised their hand and said, hey, we'd really like to be part of TaylorMade for two reasons. One, we believe the values of your company are very much aligned with our personal values. And these guys, as you can imagine, to be this successful, you have to be highly talented, highly competitive, highly passionate about the game. They're all authentic. And when I talk about those words, those are really the words that describe TaylorMade. So that was the first thing. The second thing was each and every one of them said, I need to work with the best technicians in the world to fit me into the best products and then subsequently know that the technology I'm playing with is going to give me a competitive advantage. And I find this really interesting for us because Rory McIlroy came on board last year. It was May 9th, I won't forget that date, May 9th, 2017, when Rory had just come out of his Nike deal, certainly on the equipment and golf ball side. Nike decided to stop making equipment and golf balls. They continued to make apparel and footwear. And Rory said, I can't be at a disadvantage with my equipment to all of these other players that we've just talked about. So his idea was, I need to level the playing field and ensure that it's more about the Indian than the arrow in his case, because he knew the arrows were so good. And then subsequently, the thing that really got us excited is the reason he said, hey, I've also got to play the best golf ball in the world. And he truly believes, as do we, that TP5 and TP5X is that product. So that's kind of how it all came together. It was a joint effort working with our athletes, existing athletes on tour, these individuals that wanted to come to TaylorMade, and subsequently those two areas that were really focused for both of us.
Well, you know, I tell you, there's obviously something very special there going on that you and your team have created, because to get, you know, five of the top eight in the world and then the guy who without a doubt moves the needle the most in Tiger Woods, all part of your stable right now in golf. You know, kudos to you guys and the job that you and your team are doing, and certainly to your leadership. And, you know, for our listeners, we're very fortunate to have David Abeles on the phone today, CEO of TaylorMade Golf. But I bet some of the other things that TaylorMade does that maybe some of our listeners aren't aware of is that I think you're planting the seed with golfers in general that TaylorMade's got some pretty good products, because I remember reading about a year and a half ago that you all became the national title sponsor for the AJGA. Now, what's exciting about that for my Springdale members is that we're hosting an AJJ event in late July, and it's our first time doing so, and they've been great to the club and everything, but could you talk a little bit about how that relationship developed and why TaylorMade working with the AJGA is so important?
Yeah, Keith, thanks. I appreciate you recognizing that, and more so the fact that you'll host an event at your club means a lot to us. You know, for many, many years, one of our competitors and Titleist, a wonderful brand, makes great products, really was the primary sponsor and the title sponsor of most of the AJGA activity around the country. And for your listeners, most of them are probably well aware of what the AJGA does. They put on events all over the country for some of the best playing amateur junior golfers, not just here in the United States, but many from around the world that come to play on the AJGA tour, so to speak. And several years ago, we started to work with the AJGA and talked about, you know, what we think we could bring to not only the AJGA as an association, but importantly, all the young athletes that would play in the events, how we can help them become more effective as players, how we can get better products into their bags that we feel could be advantageous to the way they play. But importantly, again, back to values, what the AJGA stands for, how to develop these incredible, incredible young men and women to become really good people. And so we were inspired by the mission of the AJGA. We were equally inspired by the resources we have and what we would be able to do with the AJGA. So 2 years ago, we came together with Stephen Hamlin, who's the CEO of the AJGA, and really embarked on what will be a long-term partnership with the AJGA. Now, this serves a couple of purposes for our company. Number one, without a doubt, many of the athletes that we reference that are playing at Shinnecock that are part of TaylorMade right now actually made their way through the AJGA. They played in AJGA events 10 and 12 years ago and ultimately became tour players. So that's important for us as we continue to look for the next set of world-class athletes, whether it's the next Tiger, the next Dustin, the next Rory. Many of them will play AJGA events over the next many years leading up to their collegiate careers and then ultimately turning professional. The second thing is it gives us an opportunity to give back to golf and really give back in ways that we can help these young individuals that may not have the means to be able to play or invest in their games the way, you know, others have, and be able to participate in certain scholarship activities with the AJGA, provide access to equipment at in ways that perhaps they wouldn't have access to otherwise, and really support their development when some may not have the means to go get professional instruction or otherwise. So the AJGA is extremely important to us. We're very, very proud of the relationship. We're literally 2 years in, Keith, and we've come such a long way. And I think about the progress that these young kids have made and the type of people they're becoming and the type of athletes they're becoming and, importantly, the type of golfers they are and will be. We're proud to be part of it, and it's something we'll continue to invest in the long term.
I mean, you could already see, you know, the AJGA effect on the U.S. Open this week with Sam Burns and Will Zalatoris and some of those guys that are out there that I saw out there just as recent as a couple of years ago at different AJGA events. And of course, there's the JT and the class of Ali Schneider-Jans and Jordan Spieth as well. So it's really great that you guys signed that, whatever it is, 10, 20, 50-year deal there with the AJGA in order to support, you know, the premier junior golfers and really help grow the game. And continuing along the theme of growing the game, and again, we're with David Abeles here, who's the CEO of TaylorMade Golf. Talk to me a little bit about Drive Shack and your interest in that, just briefly about, you know, kind of whet the appetite of my listeners here and let me know what's going on with that, because it sounds really interesting.
It is. It is, Keith. And some of your listeners may be attuned to a concept called Topgolf. Topgolf is what we call an off-course gamified driving range. So it's a wonderful experience where you and your family or your friends can go and hit shots and hit shots at targets and play a game as you hit shots. You can also have some great food and drink as well as socialize and engage. Topgolf has done a wonderful job of that over the course of the last really 12 years here in the United States. But over the past 3 or 4 years, there's been a group based out of New York under a gentleman by the name of Wes Edens. Wes Edens owns the Milwaukee Bucks. He was one of the co-founders of Fortress Management. And he said, you know, I want to get into this space for a couple of reasons. One is, I think Topgolf needs a real competitor. So that was the business side of things. But two, he really wanted to bring the concept of off-course driving range gamification to the next level. And we got together because of the innovation thread in our company. And Keith, as you know well, you know, what's in the center of everything TaylorMade does is not only the concept of innovation, but the reality of investing in innovative ideas. And innovative ideas could come in the form of products, they could come in the form of athletes, they could come in the form of anything for that matter. Well, in this case, Wes said, let's innovate around really bringing a world-class consumer experience through our driving ranges, through a gamified approach to interacting with the game of golf, into a concept called Drive Shack. And so we got into this together. We invested in this together. We opened our first site. It's really Wes and his team and Sarah Watterson, who's the CEO of Drive Shack, and her team that have led this initiative. We're trying to support them as they go along, given our authenticity and our position in the game of golf. But the first site is now open in Lake Nona. That's just outside Orlando. It's a terrific, terrific site. And what we're hearing from Drive Shack at this point in time is we'll get to probably 8 to 10 sites over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. So things are going very, very well. It's a wonderful experience. Any of your audience that is in Orlando or travels to Orlando, definitely go check out Drive Shack. You will love it. Bring your families, bring your friends, and you'll have an experience in golf that will certainly change the way you think about driving range participation in the future.
David, that was a great preview of what's going on, and I'm sure, you know, our audience here travels to the Orlando area a lot, and I bet they'll check it out. And to all the listeners out there for Springdale Golf Live, you know, as you can see, the song theme of the week was Magic Man, and we're so very fortunate to have David Abeles here today from TaylorMade Golf, and he is quite the magic man, whether it comes to supporting junior golf, the U.S. Open leader in Dustin Johnson, or this new initiative in Drive Shack. David, I can't thank you enough for your time today. You know, we're good friends, and I'll keep in touch with you, and you and I shall talk very soon. But thanks for being on the show today for our U.S. Open Blockbuster Special.
Keith, thanks so much, and thanks so much for having me and for all you do for golf. You're terrific.
Thank you, David. The PGA Tour will be in your backyard this summer as the Northern Trust, formerly known as the Barclays, will be played at the Ridgewood Country Club from August 21st to the 26th. 1,800 local individuals will volunteer at the event to help with everything from greeting guests to player movement and tracking statistics. The tournament is still in need of volunteers. Don't miss out on the opportunity to have a front row seat to the world's top professional golfers. Visit thenortherntrust.com to learn more and sign up. We'll be back in a moment. Time for a quick break and our hear from our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation.
Celebrate July 4th by teeing it up at your local golf course while supporting an incredible cause. Independence Day marks the inaugural New Jersey Golf Foundation Day, where golfers statewide will have a chance to participate in exciting events and promotions. Proceeds from the day will support the New Jersey Golf Foundation's dynamic lineup of golf programming for youth, military veterans, and individuals with special needs. Help us make a difference while positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. For more information on NJ Golf Foundation Day, contact your local PGA professional.
Aaron Boone, Gabe Kapler, and Mickey Callaway are all new to managing. Will the Yankees meet their high expectations? How will the Phillies and Mets perform? Will the Astros repeat as champions? Well, we can't make any guarantees on those questions, but we can guarantee you extensive baseball coverage. All year long, from pitchers and catchers to the final out of the World Series, right here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey and 920thejersey.com.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Springdale Golf Live listeners, it's the song of the week. It's Magic Man. And we had a Magic Man on just a couple minutes ago there, and David Abeles, president and CEO of TaylorMade Golf. But I have another very, very special Magic Man on right now. This gentleman is the number one artist in all golf. His name's Lee Wybranski, and he's calling to us live from Shinnecock Hills out there on the east end of Long Island. Lee, it's Keith Stewart, Springdale Golf Live. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Keith. Great to speak with you.
How's it going out there, bud? You know, it looks amazing on TV out there. The golf course, the different color hues, everything. You're there live on property. What's the buzz that's going on this week?
Everyone's just been very excited for the championship to begin. I mean, I've been here for a week before yesterday, so we were all kind of counting the days for the first round, and then no one really expected what happened yesterday for the wind to come up like that. So it was kind of a shock a little bit. I mean, everyone was, we've had great weather by and large with a couple of exceptions, but no wind like that in the week before yesterday. So I think yesterday kind of shocked everybody, but, you know, in terms of the fans, et cetera, there's a ton of people out here, and everyone's, I think, a little bit disappointed that Tiger and Phil and Jordan aren't, you know, a little bit more in the mix, but people are very excited.
Well, you know, I watched a little bit on TV yesterday while I was at the club, and it just, you know, it looked like those guys were playing golf like you and I play golf all the time with with our fair share of challenges. But, you know, a lot of our listeners are probably wondering why Lee Wybranski, golf's number one artist for U.S. Open week. And our friendship goes back many, many years, you and I. But your partnership with the USGA and you doing the posters and the artwork and sitting there in the merchandise tent and interacting, you know, almost in a multimedia fashion with the fan base. Tell us a little bit about how, you know, your creative talents meshed with the USGA to form this relationship that's been going on since what, Torrey Pines in 2008?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be the poster artist since 2008 for the USGA and the US Open. Kind of joke around that Tiger's last major was my first, but it's been a great run. But actually, my work with them predates that. Since, 2003, I believe, is when I first inked some work with the USGA, and that was as a logo designer. Our studio has been designing the U.S. Open logos for the USGA since, 2004 at Shinnecock. So the very first U.S. Open that I was professionally involved with was 04 right here at Shinnecock Hills. So I was really excited to come back this year and paint the golf course obviously, from a golfer's as well as an artist standpoint, you can't do much better than this place. So it's been a real thrill. A lot of people through the course of the week here in the Merchandise Pavilion, very few people are buying their first poster from me. Just many, many of them, I'm gratified to say, tell me that they get one every open that they come to, or some of them have literally, you know, 10 or 11 of my posters in their office walls. So I get to hear a lot of kind words as I sell the product here. It's a thrill.
Well, you know, your posters truly encapsulate what's going on there. And I know there's a wise man that once said, never ruin a good story with the facts, right?
And
yeah, that's a true Lee Wybransky quote there. And your posters, whether it was the Parasailer in 08 or the train at Chambers Bay, I mean, you always have this very unique eye. And that unique eye now is even further on display this week out there in the Hamptons, as it sounds like, you know, you're back after 14 years to Shinnecock, and as you just so eloquently put. But tell our listeners a little bit about what else you have going on out in the Hamptons during the U.S. Open and during June. I'm really interested in this exhibition of art that you're putting on.
Yeah, well, given that we're kind of tying a bow on a circle of life moment here at Shinnecock, and also given the audience here in the Hamptons and sort of in the New York metro region, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to showcase some of the original work. You know, most people see my work in reproduction form, be it mostly as posters, sometimes as print, sometimes on product like, you know, glass trays and such. But very few people actually get to see the original work. And most of the time, the originals are richer and often brighter and, you know, just have a little bit more character than the reproductions. We thought it'd be a great chance to host the show. The Southampton Cultural Center was kind enough to extend an invitation for us to hang an exhibit there. So for the month of June, there are, I believe the final count is 48 original paintings that I've done dating back to about 1997 until, you know, the original four Shinnecock Hills for the Open this week. In fact, I kind of forgot that the newest piece hasn't really even been seen before. I just finished it, but also on display is the painting I've done of Carnoustie for the Open Championship over there next month. So those posters haven't even been printed yet, but the original is also on display. So there's Ryder Cup work, Open Championship. There's some private club work we've done way back in the day. So it's a thrill. We had an artist reception last weekend, and a lot of friends and family, as well as locals, came out to have a look. The mayor of Southampton was kind enough to show up with some media. So it's been a great run out here, and I'm definitely inviting and encouraging anyone in the area to stop in and have a look at the pieces. It's a good chance to see how all these posters start their life.
Now, the Southampton Cultural Center sounds like it's close to where you are now over there at Shinnecock calling us live. Is there, you know, if some of our listeners go out to the U.S. Open, is there a way maybe they could take a break from the sun and jet over there? How does that all work?
As a matter of fact, there's a shuttle that literally drops people off and picks people up right in front of the Cultural Center. It's, you know, Southampton Village is not that big a place, so. We're at the west end of town, and it is the shuttle stop that's closest to Shinnecock. So there's a little shuttle that runs back and forth between Southampton and Shinnecock Hills. So, you know, people who are catching that shuttle can maybe have a peek at the show before or after their ride to the Open. So it couldn't be much more convenient.
You know what? It sounds to me like you're as creative an artist as you are an entrepreneur there, because the whole synergy with that thing going to and from Shinnecock from 04 to 18 and following up on that. One of the things that's really cool, and we're talking here with golf's most famous artist, and that's Lee Wybransky. And Lee, you know, he does a lot of work, which you just mentioned, helping clubs renovate their logos. You know, a lot of clubs in America are 100 years old. I know Springdale's 123 years old this year. And uniquely enough, Lee, for my Springdale listeners, back in 2009, created our tower logo. So I'm sure all of my Springdale members and fans here in the Princeton community might want to hear a little bit of that development story, if you could touch upon that for a second.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, our tale of work together, Keith, was very much a typical of a logo renovation project. The club had a very well-established mark, and it was a good one in the sense that, you know, your tower there is visible from much of the golf course. It's kind of a scenario almost like Marion. You know, a lot of our clients ask us to try and deliver a mark that, you know, is based on some physical item from the golf course, and that's often very difficult. Because very few golf courses in the Northeast have anything that's so unique as Marion's Wicker Basket or the Tower at Springdale. But obviously, I believe Cleveland Hall, right, the Tower at Cleveland Hall is, you know, a very distinctive object or architectural subject visible from the course. But for your logo purposes, it hadn't been rendered particularly well. Lots of times with older clubs, you would find that even if it had an established mark that was well recognized, it might be rendered differently from one application and one item to the next. So what we did with Springdale is simply strip away a lot of the extraneous detail that made it a tough piece to translate across different media. Because as we all know in the golf business, you know, the logo kind of lives and breathes in soft goods, sweaters and hats and polo shirts. So it's very important that the logo appears strong in embroidery. And Springdale's tower, when you and I met, was simply just a little bit too complicated and you know, probably not quite as elegant as it could have been. So that's all we did really together. As you'll recall, we cleaned out the golf clubs. We took out some of the detail from the tower, but left in just enough to give it sort of its architectural character. And I don't know, I think, as I recall, you and I went... The hardest part was picking a font that we wanted to use with the logo on a regular basis.
Yeah, something that was, you know, characteristic of that just amazing piece of Gothic architecture that we have there. You know, I was sitting on the back patio today having this wonderful lunch with some members and friends, and, you know, you just stand there and look in awe at this object. And I'll never forget when you took your first site visit at Springdale and you said, okay, so where's this building? And we walked to the back of the clubhouse and you looked at it from what's probably 1,000 yards away and you're like, I can work with that. which you know, I would use the analogy, that's like having Michelangelo walk into the Sistine Chapel and go, you know, I could work with the ceiling, you know, I could do a pretty good job here. But I got to tell my favorite Lee Wabransky Springdale story while I still have you on the phone here. And that is that Lee does the posters, as he alluded to, for not only the British Open, but the PGA and one other small tournament they have in April. So any person that goes to all four majors could get a little touch of Lee Wabransky artwork for their home or just to something to commemorate such a wonderful outing as it is to go to one of golf's majors. So I had a member, his name's James Stahl, and he decided in 1 year he was going to do a bucket list thing and he was going to go to all four majors. So by the time he gets to the third major, he's going to Muirfield over in Scotland. And as he's walking through the merchandise tent, this very... a wonderful voice that we hear on the radio, and not mine, of course, currently, says, "Hey, sir, why don't you have a Springdale day?" And he stops dead in his tracks because he had a Springdale logoed shirt on. And, you know, he turns, he looks, he goes, "How did you know that? I'm in Scotland." And he said, "Because I know the guy that drew the logo on your shirt." I hear that story, Lee, so many times over and over again. And all I want to say and all I can say is thank you so much for allowing your artistic talents to come to Springdale, because people just love your work. And I know that they're going to truly love your work if they come out to Southampton or they're at the Open right now and they're waiting in line for you to sign a poster. You know, I know you got to get back to it momentarily, but I'm just so happy and proud to have you on the show, and for us to come, you know, with Shinnecock this week, you're coming full circle. But, you know, 2009 to 2018, we're having you come full circle here for Springdale. So thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it, Lee.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, Keith. I've always enjoyed working with you, and obviously, as you mentioned earlier, we've become great friends, and that's a testament to you that everyone knows to have a Springdale day as far away as Muirfield, Scotland.
Okay, so before you go, give all our listeners your social media contacts so they can follow you, or your website address, so you know they can tune in and check out your artwork on their phones or their laptops today.
Sure. Well, the website is simply leewybransky.com, and you can see pretty much everything I've done over the last 20 years in one form or another on the website, and you can purchase most posters and prints that we have available from the different major championships on Twitter at leewybransky, trying to sort of post regular updates from the championship here, and leewybransky on Instagram. So those are the three main ways to keep up to date on what's going on in our studio and at the different events we work with.
Lee, can't thank you enough. Get back to it out there at the merchandise tent, and you and I will catch up soon. Okay, bud? Have a great week out there at Shinnecock.
All right, Keith. Thanks. Great to catch up with you, and all the best.
There he is, the magic man of art in golf, Mr. Lee Webransky. And Al...
Yes.
It's good to know that you're still there.
I'm here.
I appreciate all your work on the board today. So, of course, my thank yous first and foremost go out to Al Brooks, the producer of Springdale Golf Live, certainly my Springdale Board of Governors, and most importantly, all of our listeners. I'm heading over to Springdale. Where are you headed? Well, of course, let the tower be your guide. And from Princeton to Philadelphia, and of course, all the way out to the east end of Long Island and everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.